Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
By the time you hear this, Tina and I will be in the EU Parliament.
Yes.
We've been invited by MEP Nina Carberry to come on over and talk about life, health, and getting going and moving in the world.
Yeah.
It is very important. And that's the voice in which I'm going to do my speech.
Are you going
to
do it?
I have a 10-minute speech to do, guys.
Yeah, and, hasn't written it yet.
I'm going to, you've got to be running around. You can't sit around the whole time.
The funniest part of this, Tina, I think your words, oh my God, my words.
This trip?
Trip, that's it. Is that our son is acting like he's getting to go to Disneyland. We're bringing him with us, and he's so excited.
Yeah, and the Mickey Mouse of the EU is Ursula von der Leyen.
He'd kill us.
A little photo. But, you know, it is pretty exciting, and I'll be boasting all about it, and then, no doubt, in a couple of weeks' time, telling you guys exactly how it went down.
Yeah, we're a little bit nervous.
Yeah, but this is why we're a little bit late with the podcast today, and a little bit stressed out, trying to get out the door. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. We started to record earlier on, and then realised, oh shit, we've got to get to the hospital to do bloods.
Yes.
So we raced in and out of the hospital, but this is all, isn't this what parenting is?
Yeah, the blood took ages because Jared does what he normally does when he goes in there, which is take off all his gloves. It's like, Jared, you just have to roll up your sleeves.
Strip off.
Stop
and
taking
up
all
my
your clothes off.
It's actually the nurses that insist I take off my gloves, let's be totally honest. Yeah. We've got three banger questions for you, as always, on Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid today. Starting with one which was very triggering for Tina when she read it, and that relates to an issue that I share with this child.
We need to help this parent before it gets out of control, out of control.
Right now we're recording from Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid HQ, which is my office, and it's just shoe boxes, newspapers, envelopes, old shoes.
Yeah, anything. Paper bags just full of shite. Drawers, if you open them, have like empty
tons
boxes
of
Strepsils.
Yes,
and receipts.
Empty bottle of Strepsils.
Receipts would be a great thing, Jar.
Yeah,
it's never receipts.
It's never receipts.
It's
never
always
vital
like
stuff.
Clothes tags, wrappers.
Are you living with somebody like this?
Nuts. It makes no sense.
If you're not somebody who believes that if I buy that shirt, I should keep the tag in case. I don't know why I'm keeping the tags on the shirt.
You're too lazy to walk over to the bin.
Well, I'm just interested to see how you're going to handle this question, because obviously this starts early in life that I always remember not really having much stuff. So I was always very protective of my stuff.
Well, your parents are not hoarders. Your mother does a clear out every few months.
Every few months.
Every
and
few
it
months.
It is brutal.
What's that woman, Marie Kondo? She's nothing on your mom.
Marie Kondo's gone back on all that stuff, you know?
Since she had kids. Yeah.
She's like, you know what? Just let them keep the shit, whatever the fuck they want to put in their room, let them.
Yeah, your mom's amazing. Like, they could sell their house tomorrow and they wouldn't have to pack anything up.
Yeah.
It's ready.
It is ready to go. It's a show house. And it's all up in
the
wardrobes. Attic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a great rummage through the... Is there anything like a rummage through an attic? Jerry Seinfeld said that the attic is just one step closer to the dump, and the garage is even one step closer. Mm. I'll be interested to hear what your response to this question is. Maybe you've got a kid who's a hoarder or has some sort of issue like that. We'd love to hear from you. Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid at gmail.com. The email address is in the info. Let's get
to
it.
The email address is so stupid. My fault.
I don't know what it should be.
Honey,
Hyrock?
I think it should be H-Y or OK, but instead it's Honey, You Are Ruining Our Kid, gmail.com.
Well, question number one goes like so. I love the podcast. I'm forever recommending it to other people. I have a bit of a hoarder of a 9-year-old. Okay, that's extreme. But every few months, we have to sit down with her while she goes through her room and parts with the garbage bags full of little cluttery plastic junk, papers, artwork, pens, pencils, and just plain rubbish mixed with hangers, clothing, toys, stuck under and behind the bed, in the closet, behind the dresser. It's a nightmare. We have tried so many times to help her start fresh, and within a month or two, it's a mess again. We make her clean it up regularly. She does the work. We don't do it for her. She's 9 years old after all. For that reason, it takes 8 hours and it's a battle that ruins the entire day for everyone. Any commiserations or advice would be massively welcome. Anonymous. I mean, Tina, the word thing that pops out,
yep,
is artwork, right?
Yes. I mean, there's so many things. There's so many layers here to this. I'm sorry for yawning again. The minute Jarlis starts talking. Minute Jarlis starts talking, I fall asleep. And we looked into it, and that means you just make me feel really safe.
Do I? I'd say that was written by a wife that her husband was putting her to sleep.
The artwork, like, obviously something happened in the early years where something got thrown out or dismissed, and it made this little girl very protective
of
her
stuff.
Is that really obvious to me?
The center of why people are hoarders?
I think they
lost something to them that was priceless.
Yeah, something I feel, I'm not saying everyone should feel
it's
this
an
way.
An insecurity though.
That something was taken away. Something got moved or lost, and something they really liked, and then they're like, well, I have to be so careful now and protect everything.
Right. Is it possible that there's a bigger insecurity in terms of they don't want things to change? There's an aversion to change itself.
Charlotte. That,
they're just gonna be like, I just never want things to move.
From what I've seen, let me see, how do I explain it? Like, when we lived in England, a really great tradition of reusing stuff over there, passing stuff on. There's no shame in it. Yeah. People aren't afraid that anyone knows. You'll see it all the time. We lived on a road where once a week there was a table put outside somebody's house with loads of, I nearly said shit on it. And people would walk by and take whatever they wanted. And
Lovely because it was no shame in a hand-me-down over there.
No, no shame. But
and I do feel over here in Ireland, there's a little bit of, you couldn't buy a new one. You couldn't afford a new one.
Well, people have that idea, don't they? That's
maybe
why this upcycling is great.
Others. But certainly these tables were everywhere. Like,
yeah,
I can't tell
you
how many
times. And the only mistake
times.
That was being made at these tables is that parents were not giving their children enough warning. So you would see a child walk by
warning.
Or any warning, and then they'd lose their shit. They'd be like, that's my favorite thing, that's my favorite teddy, how could you do this to me? And I was saying to Jarlett earlier that the Christmas fair or the summer fair with the secondhand teddies, oh my god, was carnage. So many kids reclaiming their teddies.
You were seeing Woody from Toy Story, real life Toy Story events taking place.
Yeah.
Where Woody had found himself at the school fair.
And how do we...
Andy
how
spots
do we
him in the crowd.
Yeah. How do we prevent that? It's so easy. Sit down with the kid. Talk to them about what the idea is. See if they're on board and what they're willing to give away. So, unfortunately, we do this all the time as parents. You know, something doesn't seem precious to us, it gets binned. Mm. Like a piece of art that just looks like there's one line on it, throw it in the bin. Whereas that child thinks they've drawn a masterpiece.
Yeah, but, you know, some of the art is pretty shocking.
Yeah,
though,
but not to them. To them, it's precious.
Well, like, do you start... Is there an argument then for... as a kid that was just obsessed with drawing and painting and all everything artistic and very reluctant to throw a lot of it out. And as a result, there are some really obnoxiously poor drawings of Michael Jackson still to be found somewhere in my mother's house, although she could have cleaned them out last week, who knows. They're probably all gone. Do you start going, right, well, these are rough work, this is finished work, this is your portfolio, we're keeping this stuff to mark your third year in school?
There's a much easier way to do it. I mean, this poor child is hiding things. There's a sense of shame here. We need to take that shame out of her life.
Shame? Really?
Well, she's hiding the stuff, Jared. She's putting it under her bed or in the back of her wardrobe. I feel like she just needs to be sat down and told, we get that you're very artistic. You see a lot of magic in things that other people don't see. We have to organize it, though. We can't be allowing it to grow into such a mess in your bedroom.
Mm.
Here is a box for your art stuff. Mm. Here's a box for your precious things. Here is a bin. Some of this stuff.
This is the biggest one.
Yeah, some of this stuff is rubbish. Bin. And we can't hold on to it. It's actually not good for us to have rubbish in our room.
Yeah.
And we need to pop it in the bin, and we can take it down to the recycling centre and explain to her that there they will make it into something else. And it will, we will do our contribution, we'll be bringing it down and recycling it. And then you mentioned the art. At some point, that box gets full. Now, that's a really nice opportunity to sit down with your kid and go through the artwork. To show them how much you're
improving.
Without
criticism.
Yes, without criticism. And then to tell them, okay, the
box
is full.
These are good.
The box is full. Now we need to pop some of these in the bin. Which ones are you willing to part with? We need to make space for your new work.
I love them. But I love them.
Like, everyone is going to relate to this question, because I think everyone has a period with their child where the teddy bears that were once crucial are now gathering dust and are becoming germ festivals.
Yeah.
And they're never going to get thrown. They're not going to get passed on to kids coming to this country who've had to leave all their toys behind. You know, maybe that is the other angle on if it's a case of, well, look, the Lego is out of control now. And you're no longer playing with it. Mm. I mean, I think we're facing a Lego epidemic in terms of all of these kids that fill their houses with Lego and now are turning 15 and 16 who just have a couple of ornaments with Lego, but boxes of it everywhere. The amount of accumulation of waste that's going on, is there, just like when you would say to kids, you've often recommended on the show, Tina, that if some kid is having difficulty letting their poo go.
Yeah.
That you talk to them about the pipes, the human sewage system, and you work through it scientifically as to where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Do you need to have a discussion with your child about how we reduce, reuse and recycle and where things that aren't loved go?
Absolutely.
To someone better?
I mean, that's a really positive thing to bring into your child's life. Now, when they collect something or bring something back to the room, she's consciously aware that if I put it in this box, we're bringing it down to the recycling center, it's going to go to good use, and I'm doing something good for the environment. Or when you expect your child to part with some toys, they're aware that, yeah, I have outgrown these toys. I don't love them enough to want to keep this toy in my room forever. Like, I still have a Poochie and a Dozy.
Yeah.
And I love them. And they are mine forever. And
what got thrown out of yours, though, that you're like, why did you throw that away? I loved that.
I guess I had one of those, you remember those teddies that were fluffy on their back and you could also turn them into a ball?
I do remember them, yeah.
Yeah, that was gone. And he had a tail.
Why did it go?
I don't know, but he had a tail that was a little bit leather and I used to love to bite it.
Oh my God, how young were you when you had this? Really?
Not that young.
Are you still holding on to that? I mean, I was just talking over lunch about the the parental grudges that all our parents have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never eating in that place again. And the way we're expected to move past, you threw that thing out of me. Oh my God. Are you still pining for that teddy? But I had a house move that happened when I was 17.
Yes.
And
you did.
I went to school one day and came home and then we moved. And I think it's something similar. I think it does make you conscious of exactly what is upsetting to your kid. And maybe they've seen someone else do this or they've heard of this. But like, this is what's underneath
but
it. But like, at the end of the day, it is a messy feckin' bedroom.
Yeah, but we know parents are doing this all the time. They're wondering why their kids are, you know, so precious about things. They've seen you throw the arse in the bin. Mm. I was at a house one day
where
I saw a kid open the bin and start taking the arse out. And they were like, you were there too. And she was like, but mommy, these are my drawings.
My drawings.
And honestly, I was no help to the mother because I was right there.
With
I was like, what the hell are you thinking?
Why would you do that?
So How could you
what
possibly...
is my art walk doing in the bin?
Oh, it was rough. And I was like right there with her. Yeah, what did you do that for? How could you do that? This is a moment in time when she's this good at Irish.
We had, I hope that's been help, right? Yeah. But we know what your hoarding really was, Tina. It was the fancy paper.
I didn't actually have that much fancy paper. And anyone who was super into it like I was knows. You have one piece of each one. And what you're looking out for is the rarest ones. I was into gambling my fancy paper. Oh my God. Aunt Tobin, God rest her. We would gamble and we
fight.
Would fight and we would cry. We would eventually give back the piece of fancy paper. Our friendship
banned
our friendship was
school.
More important. It did get banned out of St. Paul's. Yes.
Too much.
You were not allowed to sweat pants.
It's
fancy
raising
paper.
Temperatures. The fancy mm-hmm. paper is a thing.
I still have my fancy paper.
You pulled out the envelope. We need to post that. because if your kid is exhibiting something along the lines of this, we want to hear from you. HoneyRuiningYourKid@gmail.com. Honey, you are RuiningYourKid@gmail.com. Yeah.
But you're onto something there. If your child is exhibiting a hoarding tendency, why not turn it into a positive and allow them to collect something nice?
Like tanks.
Ah, sure.
When we first met, Tina's nickname for me was Mr. Nice Smelly Guy. That's all she knew. There was no, that's Jarlett. It's just the guy in politics.
He always smells nice.
And isn't that the best review of a teenager? The guy, that guy smells great.
It actually wasn't my nickname for you. It was my friend Karen who coined it. She came home one day and said, I met this guy in politics.
And he stinks.
And he smells really nice.
Really nice.
And I was doing sociology, but I switched to politics. Sociology,
when you heard about the smell.
It was so boring.
I got to get the smelly guy in my
life. And then you kept sitting near us and I didn't understand
it.
Didn't
put it together.
No, I didn't. But I did think you smelled nice.
Why is the guy sitting there again? Maybe he's trying to initiate conversation, you fucking idiot.
I was like moving.
Like they were shifting along the road to get away from me. I actually thought I did smell. That was probably why I was wearing so much aftershave.
I was like, Karen, he's behind us again. Like, what's going on with him? Not once did I think, oh, maybe he likes me.
Well, our second question of the day comes from a parent who's deeply concerned about this very issue. Now, we were at our Parents Association meeting the other week.
We were.
Just about, you know, getting kids changed after PE. Kids get the stink that's residing in the PE clothes.
Yeah, basically all the parents there were going, can they not just wear their PE gear that day and stop making them change? Yeah,
making them change back into uniform, which seems to be the standard. I was making the argument around that for a lot of kids, getting undressed in front of your classmates, not much fun.
Jarlett still can't believe what a good point he made, because all the other parents are like, that's actually a really good point.
Well, it's a point that the school can't argue with.
No, they couldn't.
That's the thing.
Actually, it's the only one they took on board. And there was another mom there who was like, I just need the stink out of my car. I actually love that mom. She's so cool.
Do you know what the stink is? The polyester material that these things are made of. Now, I know this from the running gear. The poorer running gear that I wear, the less high quality stuff holds that stink.
What less high quality stuff? How much money do you have to spend on running
gear?
Well,
I'm talking about stuff you get from a race, like where the race goes. You get your finisher's t-shirt, and if it's not a named brand, it can be a real little stench magnet.
But also boys are smelly. I'm sorry, they really are.
Well, that's natural. No, if you... I mean, Tina... I don't think you smell, but we all have a smell.
What? You cannot do this to me.
Tina's a smellachondriac.
I am terrified of smell.
She is a smellachondriac.
I am terrified. It is like my worst nightmare. If somebody said, Tina, you smell, I don't think I'd ever get over it. I don't think I would. And I'm driving my son crazy.
It's the same thing that's driving this question. Because this mom's really concerned. Because her... I'll read it out, right?
Okay.
Hi, all. Absolutely love the podcast. I love reading that bit. Love the podcast. Recommend it to absolutely everybody I meet.
Fair
I've been listening since day one and was even a subscriber on Patreon.
Which is paused.
Which is paused for the moment. So if you want to come over there and get free Patreon, you can get access to everything. You won't have to pay for it. But anyway, maybe I'll cut that out. Maybe I won't. Yes, so here she goes. I have a 12-year-old son who won't shower. I know it's the age and boys don't want to shower or take care of themselves at that age, but it's a constant battle to get him to shower. Taking his gaming console and his phone does nothing for him, as he will just sit there. It's the constant back talk that really does it for me. And he doesn't respect me like he does his dad. I don't know what else to do. Showering once a week just don't cut it in my book. Please help.
She's right. And I feel so sorry for her, because there is nothing more troubling than when you feel like your child doesn't respect you the way they respect the other grown up in his life. What can she do? Well, first of all, I'm sorry. He needs to have at least 3 showers a week. I mean, he's a smelly boy.
And he's going to get smellier. This is the thing. He's only 12. Like, it's not going to improve.
No. I wonder, does she need to take him out and allow him to pick out the shower gel and shampoos and stuff he wants to use? Get him a nice deodorant and buy him a nice perfume.
I don't know why we're wasting all this money on this, because I'm not using them. I'm not going to do it. You can buy me all the shampoo you like, Mom. I'm not doing this.
Whenever I do that, you guys don't get to see Fatina's face is like... Imagine that was my son. Imagine that's what he was doing. But like, it does sound like she's meeting, like when she says he will just sit there.
That is, how has he not had an infection or some weird skin thing by now?
Someone told me the other night that they have an outdoor shower at their house so that when they come back from running outside, they basically are able to not bring the stink into the house. Look, and I was like, I need that.
Where we live, the notions are in here.
When I come in, though,
oh, Jar, you're so smelly.
You and Mikey hold your noses and run from the room and act like I've put on, what was the name of the aftershave in Anchorman? Sex Panther.
But you're so smelly. You smell like a corpse when you come back from running. It's like,
how many corpses have you smelled?
That's my thing. I'm always like, they smell like dead people. I don't think I've ever smelled a dead person. I'm sure dead people are lovely.
Really nice people, by and large. Quality people.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be insulted if they're listening. The issue here is respect. It's not even showering. It's your mom told you,
yes,
to take a shower, get up that stairs.
Yeah. How but do you don't do that, you don't want to get to there. So okay. Like, this is where the family meetings always come great. And you need dad there and you need dad briefed before. You can say in the family meeting, look, we've afforded you the opportunity to show us that you were grown up enough to be able to shower when asked or when you think you have to.
Yeah.
You've not been able to do that. Now we're setting out days of the week, times of the week where you shower. Now you do get a choice in this. You can choose if you shower in the morning or nighttime. And that's a choice. You always have to offer them a choice. You got to be as fair as you can, but be very careful that you and your husband or partner or whatever is united, and that he understands by the time the meeting's over, showers are non-negotiable. We've agreed when they're to happen. And if you don't take us seriously and listen, there will be a consequence. Now, I don't think they're really taking his phone and gaming away, because he's not taking them seriously.
Yeah.
The consequence has to matter, and it has to be effective. And you only get effective with giving out warnings of consequences if you have the balls... Or
follow through.
The follow through, yeah. I was going to say, or the vulva. To follow through.
You've enough vaginal fortitude.
Yes. Oh, I like that. That's good, Jared.
to
follow through. It's all about the follow through. And if
when you say follow through, I mean, Tina means that, like, you take it and it's not a case of, well, you were good now, so I'm giving it back to you.
No, yes.
It's like you follow through for the allotted time.
Yeah, whatever the warning you gave, you do it and you stick to it. And that's why don't say anything that's going to make your life miserable too.
Oh, yeah.
Be so careful.
No more TV for anyone.
Yeah.
Traders is on tonight. I'm fucking missing it now.
Like, I don't like negative reinforcement. Yeah. I don't. I'm all about positive, and if you can get
you
it.
Are.
But if you have to deal out a consequence, you have to follow through.
You're exceptionally good at knowing... I find one of Tina's skills in this area is knowing how to make it so that the consequence isn't my world has ended and you're a horrible individual. Mm. You are able to find that happy medium where, look, we discussed it. Mm. You did it again. It's happening now.
Yeah,
the consequence is happening. But also, this is the caveat I wanted to put in, is you often go, there is the opportunity to win it back, to work it back over time.
Yeah.
And that would be the opportunity where he's obviously not going to do it right away.
Well, I know.
He can go and take a shower and prove you wrong.
Well, I think what you actually said there last isn't absolutely true.
Really?
Because that is something you added in. Oh, and for the sake of us working as a team, I've been okay with it. But I'm never that great about it. When I'm like, I've just put in the consequence. And now you're immediately telling him there's a way to win it back.
Well, it's but look, something I read it in has a teenager's
worked.
Book.
Yeah, it has worked because we worked. You came to that with me. And I was like, okay, we'll give it a go. But what I am saying is, if you start the consequence thing, the follow-through thing, no matter what, if you start that young, you will find you never actually have to deal out a consequence, because telling them there's one and they know early on you follow through will be enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's like when people, I don't mean to talk over you, I'm sorry, but when you see people going, I'm going to count to five, and the kid's like, whatever. That's because the counting to five or three or whatever has never worked, because when you got there, you just counted again. They figure you out so fast. I hate seeing a parent going, one, two, three. The kid's like, whatever, she's not going to do anything. Whereas with our kids or any kid in my class, if I had to do that, I always only got to one, because they knew she's going to follow through on this.
I mean, I wish this mom the best of luck with this. Because shame isn't something you want to put on your kid either.
Yeah.
Fear isn't something you want to put on your kid either. But in this instance, around hygiene, there is a couple of fears and there is a certain amount of shame. And I would say that if she says the dad holds some weight here, that, well, particularly when it's a boy, girls are just always prim and proper and they're always like plaiting their hair for no reason. He isn't on the understanding that I had, coming back to our first Mr. Nice Smelly Guy thing, that I knew that the pristine smell and, you know, hygiene was attractive. Now, he mightn't be into girls or boys yet, but if dad leads it that, like, this is what us men do.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a, well, you know, babies don't. Babies have bath night on Saturday. You're not a baby.
Yeah. Okay. You're if a young they have man to do now. That. But also, there is another option.
Shake his finger at him. She says, you a baby, and then go, meh.
There is another option here where you can actually get them to do a reflection sheet on this. You can have your family meeting. And if they're pushing back and pushing back, you can end it by going, okay, I'm going to give you a piece of paper here. And you're going to outline for me the reasons why you think it's not okay. You don't need to have a shower. And just them having to reflect and sit in that can be reason enough for them to go, okay, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, because it's an utterly reasonable expectation. Yeah. And I think that your family meeting is going to solve this, because it's kind of like, to come back to the EU, it's like the UNHCR would be like, access to running water and a shower is like, it's just part of being in a community.
But it can't be making his life easy, because he has to smell, and the poor mother is trying her best. It's so tough.
When your kid stinks like that, it doesn't matter how much you wash the clothes. They're stinking the clothes out too. Best of luck with it. Let us know how you get on. Honey, you are ruining our kid at gmail.com. The InBit stand-up tour is coming to an end. I'm very sad to say.
I'm actually really sad.
It's gone all around the world now, and it's still on its way to Australia and New Zealand. Its way. I say that. I'm going to Australia and New Zealand in November
for
five final shows. And two more shows have been added in Chicago at the Den Theatre at the end of October. So there's still a couple of chances to see it. The whole thing sold out. And there's been so many highlights, but definitely Pavilion Theatre Dunleary. The sentence I said was, Irish women hold Irish men to ridiculously high standards. A woman nearly stood up from her seat and shouted, bullshit.
Yeah, I had forgotten. That happened last week. You're telling me, and I was like,
You're listening to the story going, and then what happened?
I'm like, oh my God, this happened.
Being inside a stage freaking out because...
We never get that at our shows.
I never get heckled. And I didn't think that I was saying anything controversial.
You were actually paying Irish women compliments.
I was trying to say that this is the reason why Irish men are revered abroad, is because they've had to live to these very high standards. You can either live with the standards or hit the road.
Yeah,
That's it.
Love when you say they were raised in the youth system.
Yeah, the youth system of these high standards.
Then it, like,
she is freaking out.
She's so angry.
So furious with me for saying this. And she's like, you haven't heard what I'm about to say. The whole room was in so shocked because it is John Leary at the end of the day. Yeah, like, they're not expecting.
And she sounded very posh, to be fair. And she was saying things like, you know me. And Charlotte was like,
I know you. I was like, what's that got to do with anything?
You
like,
couldn't even see her. Like, great start.
Like, later on afterwards, she got removed from
the
theater.
She had to be removed.
She wouldn't stop.
She was so angry.
Literally, every time I tried to stir, that's absolute bullshit. It's like, it's a joke. I'm telling a joke. This isn't a TED talk.
You were well able to handle her. But
I had so much fun handling her. Like, really, if you want to heckle at my shows, bring it. Because I love putting people
Dun
away.
But Leary, the staff there are incredible. And they were like, she's out.
Security guy. Great guy from Eastern Europe who was clearly living in Ireland and doing... he was one of those guys who's also got a bit of a Dublin accent as well as the... He's got Eastern European, but also...
She was a fucking messer,
so she was. And we took her out. There was no problem. Got a fucking taxi. And I just love when the two accents merge. It's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
He came into her row and stood above her and said, you gotta go. You gotta go. Get the fuck out. She wouldn't do it. She was refusing to leave the seat. And I've never seen anything like it. He stood above her until she left.
But he did a good job because you didn't notice that she was gone. But like, we should have had it in our head a little bit because the people who worked there kept saying, Saturday night in Delirium gets crazy. And we're like, we've been here all week. It's been fine.
Yeah, we did three shows here. There's
like,
no issues.
Gets crazy tonight.
Saturday night, bro. Like he was talking about Vegas or something.
Yeah, we're like, oh, this is what you mean. He was like, yeah, they just drink too much Prosecco.
In Limerick, I had someone walk out, right, on this tour. Somebody walked out early doors. And the husband left as well. And I was like, that's very odd. Didn't return.
Oh, God.
Get the email the next day. She ate some wrong fish before the show.
Oh, okay.
Explosive
diarrhea. She didn't tell you that.
In the email, she did.
My God.
She said, didn't make it.
No.
Didn't make it.
Oh, no.
They just had to get in the car and go.
Oh, no.
And
that's awful.
It's quite the journey home, which leads us on to question number three, which is, explosive diarrhea is no fun.
No, and it's also the funniest bit in that movie we went to see, Naked Gun.
Oh my God, lads.
Like, Liam Neeson does such a good...
If you haven't gone to see Naked Gun, the new one...
I nearly wet my pants laughing at that. It is the most relatable scene in the world.
Over the chair in front of me and cried.
I was like, did he follow me around for inspiration for this bit?
This poor kid, if you think Frank Drebin's diarrhea was bad, this poor kid, like, I'm not laughing about this.
Oh, no, we never laugh about a kid.
It brings us around to the issue, but, like, this woman's face when she was leaving, like, I thought she'd seen a ghost because she was leaving the place like I had said something grossly offensive, but instead it was her body.
But who orders fish?
You just don't believe in eating fish.
No, but remember we were at Not this year. We can't reveal that. Why not?
Well, someone we know had fish at
Deirdre O'Kane. And I was like, what are you doing?
You're a lunatic.
Why am I I thought you were going to be a lunatic in that moment. She sat down to have her food with us and I was like, Deirdre, nobody orders fish from the catering. What are you thinking?
Like, again, it's like Seinfeld saying, you're ordering a hot dog in the cinema. You've got a death wish.
Yeah.
Hi all, I need a little help. I scroll back up. This is where it begins. I have a spirited, nearly three-year-old son. It's great. I'll get my head together here. The current problem I'm having is that my toddler has consistent diarrhea.
Aww.
Nearly every day I collect him from creche and he's leaked.
and needs clothes change. Yesterday, he came home stinking. He'd leaked through again.
Aww.
But as he was outside, they either didn't notice or just sick of changing him.
Well,
which
that's
is a very worrying
that's
thought.
Not okay. So
yeah, he's yeah. improved. He has improved. He used to poo everywhere, maybe 3 times a day, 8 times a day. What? Where now it's 2 to 3. And he sometimes, occasionally, has a solid one. I'd say he has had a total of 20 solid poos in his lifetime.
Oh, but he's only little. He's only little.
For ages. 3 years.
But for ages, their poos are soft.
Okay, okay. She says she's gone to get bloods done.
Yeah.
She's had the bloods done to rule out celiac, trial them off, dairy, which, again, really good shouts on both of these things. Spoken to dietitians. We've gotten used to it, but I am wondering, do you have any tips for toilet training him? I really don't know if he knows he's going unless it is a solid poo. And what's more, he's happy enough to fester in his own squalor.
Yeah, but you know what? We say that sometimes, and as parents, when we're exhausted, we kind of think they're doing it on purpose yeah. and stuff like that.
It can feel that way.
Yeah, it can definitely feel that way. But we have to remember, no child is doing these things on purpose.
Yeah, because it'd be giving you a terrible rash as well, speaking from experience.
Yeah, he'd be very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I think incredible mom. She's so on it. She's brought him to the doctors, everything. I think perhaps there is a reason to maybe try the dairy for a little bit longer. I've definitely, in my experience when I have seen this, taking dairy away for a while has definitely helped.
Right, so she's probably done the test and has been told. Or she said she trialed him without dairy.
Yeah.
But do you think the trial needs to be sustained for a bit?
Yeah, because like it's so hard to go without dairy. Yeah. It's so part
all
of
the
our
good stuff.
Yeah, it's so part of how we cook and how we make everything.
I'm trying to be good at the moment and it's just so hard.
It's really a lot on the family to put out dairy. Good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you think a sustained test on that? Because really what she's describing here, if it's this consistent, you're going to need the school on board a little more.
Yeah, well, I don't like that. Even having that feeling that they're doing that. Like, she's a mom. She's got great intuition. She's so connected to her child. She knows. She knows that might be happening. There's an easy way to go in and talk about that with the school. Get them on side and ask for their advice. Tell them, you know, he's coming home really upset, even if he's not. Because then they won't want that happening. They won't want a child upset. And say, I need everyone's help. I'm trying really hard. We all need to be on top of this and get him to be successfully going to the toilet all the time. Now, with toilet training, I'm always like, pre-2 would be great. But she's had a genuine issue here. And I think there's no point toilet training that child until his poos are more solid. Mm. Because he won't be successful and it's going to be so confusing and tough for him because there is every chance he does not know when that's happening.
Quick question. Is it possible that there's an emotional aspect to this?
Well, I mean, it's always possible, but I would think that a lot of boys struggle with poos. Most of the time, it's not being able to let them go to actually do the poo. I think maybe he needs a bit more fibre in his diet, maybe a bit more, you know, roughage to help him have more solid number twos. But I also think that a lot of toddlers do go through this phase and she does need the nursery on side. And while he is in a nappy, it's okay to say to him maybe every half hour, let's go check and see if you've done a poo. We need to have a check and be aware of our body.
When did you get this email?
Oh, during the summer.
Yeah, because I would be interested to know how the summer went.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me that there may be a juice box or smoothie that's being given in that school that is the root cause. Because if it's not been an issue, and we could hear about this next week, if it's not been an issue through the summer, maybe quiz them a little bit on what might be handed out. Because there can be a berry or maybe there's a snack, you know, you used to have your snack table.
Yeah.
That might not be agreeing with him. Let's say, for example, he's had a yogurt at the start of the day and then they have an orange juice on top of that. Find me an adult that won't be
affected digestively by those two being mixed.
And also, you mentioned a snack table there. Mostly that is fruit. And some kids sit down and have 20 apples in a row.
And they just keep going for
it. Yeah.
And apples will do it to you too.
Yeah.
So I would actually get a little more meticulous and atomic in terms of, well, I need the school to chart what's going in to produce this.
Yeah, but that's dangerous area though, because if he becomes aware of that, then you're making him aware of eating.
Right, so it's going on over his head.
It's a very hard path to...
Who I am well aware.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that's obviously for them to just keep an eye on. What's he at? What's he chewing on?
But the toilet training, I would just say to her, you can't even start until it improves, because you're just leading him to be... to fail, and that will impact him terribly.
I think we need to do an episode around this. If you've got a specific where you feel like I'm on my own on this, I feel like I'm the only one with this, with my kids going through, I can't really find similarities, get in touch. Let's do an episode around this specifically, because all of this stuff is like, we're reluctant to talk about it, but this is a safe place. This is the whole point. There'll be no judgment here.
I know from working with kids that age that there's no way the other kids aren't going, you smell.
No.
They are so brutally honest. And I get,
you know.
I think this mother, the one thing that needs to happen in this, if it's still happening, like you say, over the summer, things might have changed. Gotta get the nursery to take it seriously that you can't be sending him home. And if you collect him and you think that he's soiled, you can say, I got to bring my kid in and change him before we get in the car. Mm. And that's okay. They should have taken care of him. They are in charge of his personal development.
Yeah.
That includes hygiene.
And this is a huge part of it. Yeah.
Okay.
So two hygiene questions to finish it up today.
Yeah.
Tina, and I know it's a short, sharp and snappy episode this week, but we will be back with more. And follow us on Instagram for some weekly reels, kind of bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, I have to start doing those.
But Tina's got them. And, you know, the most common things that you're coping with, getting them to bed in the evening, getting them out of your bed, getting them to the table, getting them eating, getting them doing what you'd like them doing.
And also setting up your own boundaries that are healthy for your child. I always go back to the most important question you can ask yourself as a parent. Who is this for? Is this for me or the kid? If it's for you, check yourself.
Check yourself. Go to jigzer.com for more tour shows. The Gas Man Tour starts on January 3rd.
And within that
Belfast.
Time, I have the misery of going on the Work in Progress Tour with Charlie.
The misery of the Work in Progress
Tour. It's so stressful. Well,
the show is as good as written at this point. I cannot believe that I'm able to say that. But we do this Work in Progress Tour around the country where I go to some of my smaller favourite theatres with support acts. And we have such a blast. Well, I do. Tina sits in the wings.
To be fair, I do get some of the biggest laughs, because when you go wrong or forget, I'm on the floor.
I'm
on the floor laughing. I'm laughing.
Yeah, that's the enjoyment she takes from it. Schadenfreund at its best. We'll let you know how Belgium goes. In Belgium is better than Brussels. Yeah. We'll be back next week.
Hopefully Mikey gets to meet his fancy lady.
Yes.
How do you say her name again?
Ursula von der Leyen. Shout out to Ursula. And we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks, Tina.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.